Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Word of God for the people of God. Please be seated.
Thank you very much.
Just a comment about next week at 9:45. We're still trying to define whether 9:45 is a worship service or a study hour, and we've determined that it's both. And so we're going to call it 50 minutes in the sun. As we begin 4 weeks of taking a look at a theme that will guide us over the Advent season. And at the conclusion of each one of these services, we'll have the opportunity for Holy Communion. So it'll be something a little different, a chance for us, if you've been at a regular worship service, to come and join the study. And for those who have not been in worship at all during the day, it'll be an opportunity for both worship and study for those folks who come. So keep that in mind as we celebrate the Advent season in preparation for Christmas. Let's pray together. Lord God, we're thankful for today. We're thankful for those who have gathered in your name here and throughout the globe, remembering from whence cometh our help and our strength. And we turn to you for your leadership, for your guidance, your direction in our lives. As we study your holy word this day, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, it's Thanksgiving week. I love it, and the kids love it because they're out of school, at least in District 38. Parents love it because now the kids are home under feed all day long. It's really cool, but it gives parents and kids an opportunity to get away a little bit, and some are traveling today, and we ask God's mercies and blessings on them as they travel, and some are going nearby, and some are traveling to family members for the Thanksgiving holiday. Time to count our blessings, and one of the questions may come up during this time of the year, and especially this year, well, why? What do we have to be thankful for? Well, I read some statistics recently I just want to share with you. It may guide some of our thinking. If you have food in your refrigerator, which most of you do, clothing on your back, a roof over your head, and a place to sleep, you are richer than 75% of this world's population. 75%. Wow. Well, if you have any money at all, and you probably could reach in your purse or your pocket and pull out some change, if you have any money at all in a bank account or spare change in a dish somewhere, perhaps in your bedroom, you are among the top 8% of the earth's wealthiest people. The top 8% of the earth's wealthiest people. If you woke up this morning with more health than illness, and we all have our aches and our pains, but if you have more health than illness, you are more fortunate than the million people who will not survive this week at all. If you've never experienced the danger of battle, the loneliness of imprisonment, the agony of torture, or the pangs of starvation, you are ahead of 500 million people who have experienced that. And if you can attend a worship service like today, if you can go to any religious-based meeting or activity at any time this week without any fear of harassment or arrest or torture or death, you are more fortunate than literally billions of people in the world who do not enjoy the freedom you enjoy today. Wow. That's amazing. That billions of people who don't know religious freedom. And on the other side of it, we have it and oftentimes don't use it. Well, you know, normally it's easy to count our blessings. And we do that on Thanksgiving Day regularly. And especially so as we sit down, oh, golly, the memories in my mind and yours of Thanksgiving dinners, that roast turkey as it comes out of the oven or comes out of the grease, Bruce, you know, as that thing is fried. He makes great fried turkeys. Never overburned. They're just right. Or those hams, the wonderful hams with that brown sugar and pineapple glaze over it that are so good. And candied yams and mashed potatoes and stuffing and Pennsylvania guy, succotash, lima beans and corn for those of you who don't know what that is. And green bean casserole becomes sort of a standard in homes nowadays because it's easy to make and you put the little onions on the top and it all looks like special. Man. Giblet gravy, I don't care what you say. I like the giblets and the gravy. Oh, and you let that simmer a while. Pour that over everything. Pour just over the whole plate of food. Man, it's good for you. Assorted salads and breads and desserts. Mincemeat pie and pumpkin pie are my favorites. And if you're part of the fortunate family, if you're going to be really lucky this day as you get together as a crowd, hopefully there will be, if you're really, really lucky, one of those jello molds that you'll have on the table, and maybe with a little bit of fruit in it, just to add a certain splash. You always have to have jello, red and green jello. But with all the change following the deflation and the meltdown of our economy, many people aren't very thankful. They forget from whence cometh our help. We're already beginning to hold the line on spending. Have you done that in your home? You think twice before you spend the dollar or before you go out to eat or before you... Yes, we do. And foreclosures are increasing. We see the numbers growing day by day. Retirement funds are diminishing. And I've had those within our own congregation who've shared that with me. Yeah, I don't know where it's going to go. And when it's gone, it's gone. Yeah, you always talk about the future when we see all the stocks climbing, but if your retirement funds have gone down to zero, there's no climbing left to do. What are we going to do in that case? People are out of work. It's hard to even get work and for the holiday seasons for many people, especially college students in this day and time. And it's exciting on the one hand, but terrifying on the other. The Christmas sales have already started. Because stores are so anxious, the economy is so bad, they're afraid if they don't do something now, they won't make any money at all. And they want to at least break even. You know, following logic, this all must mean that if we lack any or all of the wonderful things that we associate with Thanksgiving, or we're fearful of losing them, then giving thanks is really a moot issue. That is, if we don't have anything, why in the world should we give thanks to anybody for it? Do we give thanks for nothing? Do we give thanks if we have no stuff? Or stuffing? Or turkey? Or giblet gravy? Or pumpkin pie? After all, when George Washington proclaimed a National Day of Thanksgiving in 1789, I don't know if you realize it or not, but there were people opposed to it. They didn't want anything to do with it. There was a discord among the colonies, many feeling that the hardship of the pilgrims really didn't warrant a national day of Thanksgiving. In fact, it was not until 1941, a very, very significant and remarkable year in the history of the nation, because I was born then. It was not until 1941 that Thanksgiving was really sanctioned as a legal holiday. Perhaps the reason for the season, however, is much deeper than giving thanks for the things that we have. Maybe that's what we forget. I mean, we spend a lot of time talking about our Thanksgiving dinners and the wonderful things we have, but there are many, many thousands of people today realizing that what they have, they're losing. For many, it's gone. Recently, that came to me in such a profound way when during the newscast, following the ravenous fire in California, the latest one, you know. California has been inundated with fires for months and months and months. But in the latest one, nearly 1,000 homes were destroyed. And in one fell swoop, did you see the pictures on TV, on the news? One fell swoop. A trailer park, 500 trailers, all of them leveled to the ground, all of them burned up, all of them destroyed, 500 of them, homes for people, were all gone completely. One of the news reporters interviewed a couple. They were standing at the site where their home existed, their trailer existed. And they stood looking at it, and there was nothing but bare ground. And they were holding on to each other. And the woman said two things that jumped out at me. One was, we have each other. And the second was, we'll get through it. I don't know if I could do that. We'll get through it. You know, we have our lives. We'll get through it. They lost everything. We'll get through it. In other words, they're thanking God for nothing. They don't have anything left. And yet they're still giving thanks. We'll get through it. It was Jim Carrey, the comedian actor who went from playing Dumb and Dumber to playing God, who was interviewed one time about Bruce Almighty, wanting to know what it was like to play God. He said it was an awesome feeling, an awesome experience. But he notes that the film, while being funny and hilarious at times, really delivers a serious message. And Carey said this. He said, it's all about not seeing your blessings, a common thing for a lot of people. About not seeing your blessings. I read this and thought to myself, well, maybe some of the greatest blessings in life that we experience and that we enjoy are not to be seen. Maybe some of the greatest blessings are not on the table on Thanksgiving Day. Maybe some of the greatest blessings are not in the home we enjoy or the jobs we have or the experiences we have. Maybe there's something unseen for which we must be giving thanks as we come together this day. I thought about it. I wondered about it. And it sort of came back in my mind, a little book. I don't know if you've ever read it. It's a wonderful story entitled The Little Prince. You recall the story? The Little Prince. A wonderful classic published in 1943. Over 80 million copies of this book have been sold throughout the world. It's a children's book. But it's so poignant and so up to date and so dealing with humanity that there's some things in it that challenge us as adults to do a little bit of thinking. In one scene in the book, I'd like to lift up the fox character in the book is talking to the little prince. It's a wonderful, wonderful account. The fox is saying goodbye to the little prince, and as he prepares to leave, he says this, "And now, here's my secret. A very simple secret. It is only with the heart that one can see rightly. What is essential is invisible to the eye." The little prince thought about it some more and some more. Finally, he repeated it to himself. He said, "What is essential is invisible to the eye." Would you repeat that with me? It's up there on the screen. What is essential is invisible to the eye. Wow, what a profound thought that came across to the little prince and to us. What is essential is invisible. That's it. That's it. That's what Thanksgiving is all about. What is essential is invisible to the eye. It's really not about things after all. It's not about turkey and giblet gravy. It's not about the members of our family or our home or our job or the new car that we got on a special deal, $10,000 off the price, no interest rate, mortgage payments on your car. for 14 years now. You can buy it, $10 a month. It's not about any of those things. The fox's insight is right in line with Paul's thinking in 2 Corinthians. He says, we look not at what can be seen, but what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary. What we can't see is eternal. Wow. There's something into the things that we cannot see. And Paul prayed for the Ephesians. And I love the passage of Scripture in which he prays for the Ephesians. The Message translation gives it so well. I ask that the God of our Master Jesus Christ, the God of glory, to make you intelligent and discerning in knowing Him personally, your eyes focused and clear so that you can see exactly what it is, what He is calling you to do. Grasp the immensity of this glorious way of life He has for Christians. Oh, the utter extravagance of His work in us who trust Him. Endless energy, boundless strength. Catch the words. Catch the words in the Scripture. Intelligent and discerning. Eyes focused and clear, endless energy, boundless strength. That's what we need this Thanksgiving far more than we need turkey and pumpkin pie. In today's message from Luke's gospel, Jesus is on a road trip, moving between Samaria and Galilee, in between places, on his way to Jerusalem. He enters a village. And 10 lepers show up. They just happen to need a little special care and treatment. And they show up at a distance from Jesus. They know better than getting too close. And I would imagine it's almost like a chorus line as they get together. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Oh, wow. And Jesus hears the song. Asking for help, for healing, for a new sense of life and purpose. Wow. They're desperate. They're unclean people. They don't dare rush to Jesus. They know that they're supposed to keep their distance. Stay away from the public. That's what they have to do. Live outside the community. Jesus' response, I think, is pretty cool. Go show yourself to the priests. What? Go show yourself to the priest, Jesus instructs them. Well, it may seem odd that Jesus would tell them to go see the priest on the one hand, but on the other hand, it was only a priest who could certify that the lepers once cleansed were really cleansed and then authorized them to go back and live in the community. That's why Jesus said, go see the priest. So they all headed out not knowing why they were going, but they followed his instructions. Go see the priest. And as they departed from Jesus, every one of them was made clean. By the time they got to the priest, I know what the priest said. Go on, you're all right. Go on back home. They were made clean. Every one of them. Something's going on here. Something that you can't see. What's happening? Something's taking place. Something wonderful and mysterious and exciting in the healing presence of God. All the lepers are miraculously clean. Oh, yes. And then there's leper number 10. A remarkable individual who evidently saw in Jesus the presence of godliness in a way that the others did not see it. Unseen. But it touched him. And the leper number 10 stops in his tracks. It's almost as you can see him just stop. As if a great insight has come to him. And he turns around on his heels and he heads back to Jesus. And he falls prostrate at his feet. Worshiping him. Celebrating the healing that has taken place. Praising God with a loud voice. And he throws himself at Jesus. And the Message translation says that the leper came back shouting with gratitude. I love it. Came back shouting with gratitude. A bit miffed, Jesus responded, hey, wait a minute, hold on. There were 10 of you. And you're the only one. Where are the other 9? They didn't get it. But in the next breath, he says, to the healed Samaritan, you get up and you go on your way. Because I'm telling you, it's your faith that has healed you. The unseen, the thing that you can't touch, the invisible, for which we need to give thanks as we come to God. The faith has healed you and saved you. Remember the fox? Remember the words? What is essential is invisible to the eye. Faith healed and saved the 10th leper. It will heal and save us as well and foster in us a shouting gratitude to a strong and dynamic God who hears us when we call. A God who through Jesus Christ lifts us from sorrow to hope in our most challenging moments of our lives. A God through Jesus Christ who removes the clouds of depression and fear and anxiety from our lives and from our minds, who enables us to go on in the midst of great loss, who moves us from whining to singing, who provides our hope in the midst of economic chaos, who challenges us to be more than we thought we could ever be in serving others around us, who gives us eyes clear and focused as we look to the future, endless energy and boundless strength. That's what God gives us. They're invisible to the eye, but they're the life-changing grit that gives meaning to who we are and gives us reason for a day of thanksgiving. Shouting gratitude, absolutely. At Thanksgiving, of course. And for the rest of the year, absolutely. Always in Jesus' name, amen.